And if I connect the auxiliary ion flow regulator to the positronic microfilament collector, then we should see an uptick in the decay rate of the delta wave processing unit that...
Hey, Brian! Morning!
Good morning! Wait, it's morning?
Yeah, it's like 8 a.m.
Should I sound the red alert? You are never up before 9.
No, no! I come in peace. I couldn't sleep and needed to talk to you.
Alright, well, I'm still trying to clean up the mess from a test I was trying out yesterday. I was looking into a... You've glazed over, so, right, cut to the side effects. I'm still tasting sun-dried tomatoes every time I blink. What's up?
Okay. So, we've had some really interesting things happening lately. And, well, it got me thinking.
Go on.
I think we might need to make some upgrades to the command center. Strategic ones, defensive ones, making sure that multidimensional beings don't just, you know, show up unexpectedly. Again.
You mean any given Wednesday for us lately. Gotcha.
Right. Look, when I was in that other dimension, I saw a few things and got some ideas on how we could make these upgrades and be smart about it.
Brian, where are you?
Well, well, well. Isn't my lab just the place to be this morning? What's up, Mike?
And why do you look like you're about to headbutt a hole in reality?
Brian, I checked the chore schedule and it was your turn to do the laundry this week, right?
Yeah?
Then I would like a very simple explanation as to why every piece of clothing I own is now pink.
What? Excuse me? What do you mean?
I went to pull my load out of the dryer and everything is neon 90s pink, Brian. What did you do?
I didn't do anything, man, I swear. I mean, I might have used an extra dryer sheet, but that's not going to cause the command center to explode or anything. I think. But that's it, I swear.
Are you absolutely sure that a red sock didn't wind up in Mike's whitiest of whites?
Yes.
Because this is supposed to be a green and purple retro Mighty Ducks jersey.
That is very pink.
Oh, come on. It's not. Oh, God. Wow. No, you're right.
Wait, is this the fallout of that experiment that you were up all night fixing?
No. Yes. Maybe. No, it can't be. The side effect of that was tasting food when I blinked, not hearing color.
Hearing color?
But that doesn't mean that there isn't another explanation for all this.
Oh, right. There's just an interdimensional being out there that has a vested interest in the color of my underwear.
No. Seriously, dude. Here, you and Sasha take these, head back to your quarters, and take some readings. After that, let's go find Ben.
Wait, you're serious?
Deadly. Now go. Ben? Where are you? Ben? Ah, there you two are. Did you get the readings like I asked?
Yep, and we've already uploaded them to the lab.
And I can confirm, every piece of clothing I own is slowly turning pink. These pants were black this morning.
Hmm. All right. I'll analyze the data later. Let's go find Ben.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Ben, where have you been?
Nowhere. I've definitely not been in the other room working on anything secret or anything.
What do you mean working on something secret? Let me see.
Oh, you ruined the surprise, my dude.
What's going on here? And what does that sign say? Farewell, Mike. We will miss you. What the? Ben? What?
Well, you know how you're going to that fancy dancy hockey tournament up in Canada, right?
Yeah. And?
You know how this works.
I'm sorry. You lost me.
Whatever a ranger leaves the group and travels internationally, that always means they're never coming back. And, well, I just didn't want you to go without knowing how much you mean to all of us, buddy. Wanted to do something special for you before we never saw you again. That's all.
Dude, I'm just leaving for 2 weeks.
What?
I'm only heading up for like 2 weeks max. After that, I'll be back here like the trip never happened.
Oh.
Wait. Hold on. You really thought that I was going to be going to a permanent world peace conference type thing for hockey?
Well, when you put it like that, I admittedly feel a little silly. I'll go ahead and start taking all this down.
Dude, you did all this for me. Thank you. Give me a hug.
Touching and adorable as this is, there's something freaky going on over there.
Oh, so it's Wednesday.
I'd consider that flippant if it weren't so true.
Current working theory is we've got a wave of pink energy coming out of a wormhole.
I thought too much pink energy was dangerous.
Precisely. This wave is slowly seeking out very specific non-biological entities and altering their molecular makeup to...
make them pink. Got it.
I'm gonna need more coffee.
Seriously, why do you all hate that color so much? I think I look pretty dapper in it.
Yeah, but you're biased. Time to get to work.
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of Voices from the Grid. And I'm your host for this episode, Pink Ranger. Brian, what's going on here?
I'm going to kill you.
Get in line.
What's wrong with being pink? I was pink last season.
Yeah, my sentiment is exactly.
My black shirt turn pink? I will kill you, Brian.
I swear to God, we're gonna get this episode done.
How am I the only one with pink in my wardrobe?
I have pink somewhere, but it's supposed to be one pink thing, not 50 pink things.
Mike,
look,
I am so sorry about your capital jerseys.
I own one pink shirt. I own one pink shirt, and this is not the season for it. So this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Stop turning. Why is Brian, seriously? First, you turned your clothes blue. Now you're turning everybody else's clothes pink. Like, what the heck?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out.
I think you need to check your washing machine.
Yeah.
Your reality altering washing machine.
Hey, man.
Should we introduce ourselves at some point?
Absolutely. Joining me for this episode, we got the whole gang here. Give it up for Pink Ranger Sasha.
Oh, God. That is the worst. No. I refuse. The season. The day I am a Pink Ranger better be the day we talk about Jen Scott and no other day. But yes, hello, I am the one and only, the ever exhausted and overworked Sasha Kaplan.
And also joining us is, good God almighty, Pink Ranger Michael Lindenbaum. Give it up, everybody.
I am going to kick your... Anyways, this is a child-friendly show. Why is my hockey stick pink? That wasn't pink either.
That's not close. How did that happen?
I need to talk to my agent about this. But hi, how's it going?
And last but certainly not least, everybody, give it up for Pink Ranger, Ben Taylor.
It's me, your boy, back once again in pink, Ben Taylor, man with podcasting running through his veins. along with increased levels of saturated fats.
I can't say that, but yeah.
Well, at time of recording, it technically is.
Yeah, I was going to say 'tis the season, but I don't know when this episode's going out.
Those that don't know, we're recording this in early November. So that you kind of have a frame of reference of how it's a little too soon to start talking about all of the weight I won't be gaining over the holidays.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this in summertime, guess what? It's turkey time over here almost. So hi, how's it going? So today we're going to be talking about everybody's favorite three-parter, right? We're going to be talking about Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Season 3, Episode 23, 24, and 25, A Different Shade of Pink. The original air dates were November 6th, 7th, and 8th, 1995. And Ranger Wiki gave us a brief synopsis here, just in case you needed a little bit of catching up. Kimberly meets a famous gymnastics coach who offers to work with her. Rita plans to defeat the Power Rangers by attacking Angel Grove while Kimberly trains. The Rangers must battle Rita's monster without the Pink Ranger, and Kimberly's faced with a tough decision. All right, so yeah. That doesn't mention anything about concussions.
Any of the plot.
Yeah. Nothing.
That's why you have to read further into like the plot breakdown.
Yeah. Well, there's a plot breakdown on there and it's like five pages very long. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah, but if we were to read that plot breakdown, it would be almost as boring as Mike segments from the last two seasons.
Oh, that's
so mean. Shots fired. In case you guys haven't noticed, in case our listeners couldn't tell, it's kind of been a little bit, a hot minute since we've all been in the same recording studio, quote unquote.
Yeah, we took a bit of a break mid-season in recording, and we're just getting back together for the first time in like a month, 6-5 weeks.
Something and like that.
We are definitely popping off.
So good. Yeah. So, yeah. Oh my God. So I don't know exactly where to start. I guess we could start with some questions because I'm sure that you guys have thoughts on these episodes. So
I have no thoughts at all. None. I don't know what you're talking about.
What episode is this again?
This is the one that Batman comes in and just beats everyone up, right?
We're doing Day of the Dumpster again, guys.
Oh, okay.
Get ready.
No, thank you. Once was enough.
We can't do Day of the Dumpster again. That was a good episode.
Oh, okay, fine. Return of the Green Ranger.
That's just cruel and unusual.
Well, I'm out of here.
Peace. Ben and I casually walk off the set.
Okay, so I pose this to everybody here. Zordon mentions during the meeting that happens at the very beginning of the episode that Kim calls to discuss her potentially leaving that being a Power Ranger means that you must make sacrifices, but
I think
it was
you're looking at episode 3 there, mate.
Am I now? No, that's episode 1.
No.
No.
Interesting. No, I could have sworn that was episode 1 because they have multiple meetings. By the way, they have so many meetings in these three episodes.
The first question you sent us was about Rita being jealous.
Okay, yes, that's right. So, okay, fine. Rita is really obsessed by...
Not to give away that you pre-sent us these questions or anything. But
if it makes you feel better, Brian, I didn't read them.
Yeah, same here. I didn't read them either.
You asked me to... whatever. Anyways.
I didn't do anything. I wasn't there.
Okay, so Rita is really obsessed and upset with Kim being offered to go into that Pan-Olympic meet. Think she might be jealous?
Well, look, every little girl dreams of being a princess ballerina gymnast, but every little girl has to realize that sometimes dads are evil and that that's not a dream that everyone can achieve. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
I think Sasha just answered it best. Let's move on to the next one.
Fair enough.
Also, there's been this somewhat running competition between Kim and Rita.
It's a good point.
Kim's a better Rita than Rita at some points.
It's not that hard, though.
He's got a great point, though. Okay. I'll save that one for later. Okay, so, and I'm going to ask this to Ben, because if I have any questions about Bulkan Skull, they're going to Ben. Thoughts on this Bulkan Skull B story Kim's coach might be an international spy. What are your thoughts on it?
You can't really blame them for thinking that Gunther is the international spy. He's literally the only person in Angel Grove that fits that description.
Yeah.
Literally the only one.
And he's also the only one that has an accent.
And he's also not local.
The accent was part of the description, Mike.
Yeah. But the thing is, but like when you listen to everyone else talk, though, in Angel Grove, everyone almost sounds pretty much the same. Like even when Trini was there, she sounded like she was a California girl, like with like with Kim and stuff like that. So like when you actually bring somebody,
are you trying to imply there's no such thing as an American-born Asian, Mike?
No, I am not implying that. I'm just saying that they made everyone sound pretty much the same in general in Angel Grove.
Mm.
You would think that you might have heard at least one or two like California gnarly dudes. Like,
but don't forget, he is also not local, right? Like, if I remember correctly, he comes to town. So, of course, he's
Florida.
See, okay, that should make him suspicious alone. That's
and his name is Gunther.
Yes,
and I think his last name is Schmidt. So, like, so he's from Florida, but he has a German name and a so, like, you know, you can't blame Balkans.
The news advert is literally the news item is literally like. An older man with gray hair, blue eyes, and a heavy accent. And he's literally the only person that fits that description.
Yeah. Here's this very handy and convenient plot point given to you by the local news.
Which they did a lot in this season.
They did.
They had to pad the episodes out somehow.
Yeah, because this needed to be a three-parter.
Yeah.
I mean, most of these episodes don't need to be multi-parters. Like,
most of these episodes didn't need to be.
How many times last season did we say this did not need to be a two-parter? This did not need to be a three-parter. Like, at this point, it's just par for the course.
But also, now we have three parts. But also at the same time, though, and like, Ben, you and I have talked about this, and Brian, you and I have talked about this, especially the fact that we've already recorded stuff that's after this episode.
Yeah.
Like, because we filmed all the individual stuff first. But, like, one of the biggest things that, like, we talked about, and I don't think it really came up with Sasha and I, was that we're really in this arc. There's a lot long-term story arcs that are actually happening along multiple episodes. Even though this is a three-part episode, this was really like a ten parts. Like, this is 10 parts for this one. Like, and then we get to the next thing. And that one is like 15 episodes for that arc to get to where they need to get to. So it's like it's definitely like a spreading out process amongst multiple episodes, because they obviously wanted build up to the moment that we're going to get to in this episode, and then get ready to build up to the next moment that gets to the end of the actual season itself. Yeah. So that's like one of the biggest things that like we definitely noticed for this season, and this season specifically.
That's
everything's
fair.
Building up towards Zio, basically at this point.
Like actual build up so that the story is actually going somewhere.
Yeah,
which is what we never got in the first two seasons, honestly.
No. Especially not the first one.
I think I've said in other episodes that this season feels like it was written by a different writing team than seasons one and two, because there's way more forethought put into this season.
Yeah, and this is like definitely the beginning part of that for the season.
I totally agree.
Yeah, that and Ninja Quest as well.
Yeah,
yeah. My next question. I'll throw this one to Sasha. Okay. Did it really feel at any point that they needed Kim in that fight in the first episode? And thoughts how Gunther is responding to her having to leave? He's obviously a busy man, but how unreasonable are his requests?
Why does the girl get the gymnastics question?
No, that's not.
I know. I'm just teasing. I don't know. I think it's weird how like they don't need Kimberly until they need Kimberly kind of a situation, because what we've seen in the episodes that have built up to it is like they don't really call her unless they absolutely need her. So I guess the question is, did they really need her here? Like, did they?
But also like, the kind of pick but also to kind of piggyback off of that, like, it's a little jaded at the same time too when you think about it, because like in the past, like before Tommy fully lost the Green Ranger powers, he was supposed to strictly be a emergency use only Ranger, and they brought him in very sparingly, and most of the time when they brought him in was just to get the Dragon Zord in there. Like, so there's really no excuse that they couldn't have utilized Kim in that type of means, where they only go, okay, we need to do the Zords and we need Kim for the Zord. Get Kim real quick. Yes, Ben, because you actually raised your hand.
She literally didn't have a power coin.
That too.
Oh,
that's right. We're also in the point where she doesn't have the power coin.
But which also, like,
To actually say something that's relevant to the question, no, they didn't need Kim at all. A, if it was so easy for them to all group together like they did at one point in the fight, why not just do it straight off the bat? And B, unless I'm wrong, there were a finite number of Tengas.
Yeah.
Because they hatched out of eggs, and then there were only ever about 6 or 7 of them. And we don't see any of them die, and we don't see any new ones getting hatched. So how come in this fight there's suddenly like 13 of them?
Somebody's been busy.
And then there aren't 13 of them anymore for the rest of the season.
Also, like, I don't know. I feel like Schmidt could have been a little bit more upset. Like, I don't know, if you offer to train a girl who is, like, going to be part of what is essentially, like, the Olympics of gymnastics or whatever, and she keeps flaking out on training, then, like, why not? I'd be more upset.
So, in all fairness, A, she only flaked out once.
Okay, fine.
And B, she could have done a much better job of covering, like, saying, oh, my mum's ill or whatever. And C, it's not unreasonable. I know that athletes, I mean, look at what happened just this year during the Olympics with Simone Biles, right? The moment she started to put herself above competing, everyone turned on her, right?
Which is ridiculous.
So it's not unusual for Olympic level athletes to be asked to put everything ahead of their own lives, put their training ahead of their own lives. It's not unusual at all.
You're right, though, that she could have come up with a better excuse of like, oh, my mom's in the hospital, or, you know, Aisha's mom is in the hospital, or, you know, some kind of something that validated an emergency and that would have been fine. But then also Gunther's like, or what's his name, Schmidt, or whatever you want to call him. He's like, your commitment. You need to be more committed. I'm like, you could at least, like, I don't know, like, but again, like, guest stars on Power Rangers are not known for their acting skills.
No. And I was going to say, like, you know, she could be like, well, I saw into the future. I'm going to be in the hospital soon. So just.
Oh, yeah. No, that would not have worked. Next question.
Yes. Next. Okay. We're moving on. When it comes to questions, does anybody else want to talk about episode one, or do we want to move right on to season or episode two?
Well, you actually
things happened in episode one.
There's like two more questions in episode one, my dude.
Yeah, you have like another thing about how awesome Ernie is and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. So yeah, how awesome is Ernie to let Kim practice overnight? I feel like that's a really big thing of trust.
Yeah, but that's also really irresponsible because she's a teenager.
And she's by herself with no one to
stop. And he literally just says to her, when you're done, turn out the lights. Doesn't mention locking the doors, doesn't give her keys.
Listen,
there's
be
no
honest.
Crime in Angel Grove except monsters. Everybody knows that.
Exactly. Like, the only thing that he needs to worry about is Rita and putties and Tengas and all this other stuff. He's not worried about crime.
He's not worried about like health and safety violations when, say, a high school age child falls off a balance beam and nearly breaks a neck. That's not a lawsuit waiting to happen or anything.
No, not at all.
That would never happen in Angel Grove.
Wait, I'm sorry. Does Angel Grove even have a court system? They have the worst education system in the country. Okay, teenagers are basically doing all of the charity work in this entire town, city, whatever you want to call it. So, like, come on. We can't expect, there's no way they're thinking about lawsuits in Angel Grove if they rely on teenagers to help orphans.
Don't we finally see the court system in a later season?
Hasn't happened yet. So it doesn't we'll exist. Get there when we get there.
Well, if that doesn't exist, if that doesn't exist, then why are Bulk and Skull on the junior police team then? Like,
well, okay, fine.
Why does that even happen?
Police force. Fine.
Reporting
they're
for
also
duty.
Relying, they're also relying on teenagers to be the police.
Yeah, there you go. See?
Angel Grove needs to get his crap together.
Angel Grove operates by High School Musical like rules or something. The last one that I have, by the way, it's kind of an overarching. I was going to save it for the last, but I'll go ahead and ask it here. So this whole thing is leading up, obviously, to Kim's departure. And it's kind of, you can kind of feel that, especially in like the first episode too. Obviously hindsight's 2020, but how would you rank this compared to the time that Jason, Trini, and Zach departed?
I do think we should talk about that at the end.
Yeah, talk about that at the end. That's an end question.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my thinking on that.
I think that'd be a good thing to hold for the end.
Okay, cool. So okay, here's my first question for episode two then. Okay, I'm going to send this over to everybody, actually.
Wait. No, Brian.
What?
I need you to ask this question and then send it immediately to Ben.
Oh, okay, fine. Okay, let me hold on. Let me get into the console here. I'm going to redirecting towards Ben. Okay, cool. Awesome. The episode begins, and did anyone else get massive whiplash by this episode, starting with Kim being rolled into the ER?
Right. So this is me opening up a can of whoop ass on this scene.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Who the hell wrote this scene? Like, have they ever been anywhere near the healthcare system in their entire life?
When did ER premiere? Clearly, they weren't watching that.
93?
So, to first deal with the whiplash situation, it wasn't that bad for me because I was watching the episodes back to back. So, like, right. Kim falls off, obviously hurts her neck and her head. And then the next thing I see, she's getting wheeled into the ER, right? So it wasn't that much of a whiplash for me. What was a whiplash for me is no neck stabilization from the people in the ambulance.
Yeah. They would want to make sure her spine wasn't damaged or like protect her neck.
Mm-hmm. She should have been on the backboard.
We can't afford it.
Like, there's a scene, there's a moment in...
Oh, at least we know Angel Grove has a hospital.
unless they're across the way in...
Stone Canyon.
And then there's a moment where all the Rangers have gathered in the waiting room. And Coach Gunter comes up and goes, I can't help but think this is my fault. And Tommy's like, no, man, don't worry about it. These accidents happen. Tommy should have been like, yes, it's your fault, you asshole.
But these are Power Rangers.
That's my girlfriend.
They can't have emotions like anger or depression, at least not for a few more years.
You should have roundhouse kicked that dude into the sun.
But that wouldn't have made him look good.
Ah, yes, eating people into the sun. A Ben tradition.
And off with you. Get out of my life.
And then at least I'll give them credit, right? That there's this moment where Billy goes up to Tommy. And Billy's like, how are you doing? It's like, oh, wait, Power Rangers suddenly remembered that Kim and Tommy were dating. It's like, it's been a non-factor for a season and a half.
Honestly, I forgot they were dating until you brought it up.
It won't be for too long.
We got about halfway through Zio till that happens.
Yeah.
And then they have this little moment where Tommy's on the phone talking to Kim's mom, who's in France, I believe.
Last time we heard,
On a payphone.
Are you saying there are no payphones? Oh, wait, no, yeah.
Can you imagine how much that would have cost?
So,
did he use 1-800-COLLECT?
Overseas?
Calling card?
So I have to wonder then, because for those also, of you that don't...
why is Tommy calling them and not the hospital? There is literally, is literally no one in that city who is Kim's next of kin. No one can make executive decisions on her behalf. She is a minor.
Hold on a second. Because technically speaking, Aisha's parents took responsibility for her. So technically they should have been the ones to call her, to call her mom.
No, they are not blood relatives. That's not how the healthcare system works.
But although you're right, in the case of like teenagers living under guardianships and such, like they would have had to like...
unless they legally took guardianship of her, which I don't think they did.
I think like they would have had to some degree because you know what, guys? We need to stop putting real world logic because I'm going to have a brain aneurysm and nobody wants to see that.
I mean, I kind of do.
Did you see me before the call? Do you want that dialed up? Yeah, yeah. You don't want that dialed up to like an 11.
I was getting to the point of that's not how the healthcare system works more than anything.
Fair.
It's just that's not
how healthcare works.
But wait, how did the Rangers find out then? Did Kat call them?
Kat would have called them because she's broken the spell by then.
Yeah, and she's been stalking Tommy.
Yeah.
And she's been stalking Tommy. So
that's right.
But at the time of the fall, though, Kat was actually spying on Kim.
Yeah.
My point was
Kat's a creeper.
My point was more, Kat would know a way to contact Tommy and or Aisha, because since she's been living in Aisha's house as a cat, and she's been stalking Tommy, like looking through his bathroom window at night.
Creepy. Wow, that's totally normal.
Hey, that's love, guys.
Yay!
That's how she's portrayed.
That's like, amore. Wow.
From the first moment you see her transform from the cat into her full, not the moment you see her in the vet, but there's a moment where, and we talked about, I think it was me and Mike talked about this. The first time you see Kat transform from the cat into full-fledged cat, it's shot in like slow motion and she's doing this weird sexy hair flip thing that's really tried to like make you forget she was a cat 20 seconds ago. But like from that moment forward, from like the moment she starts interacting with Tommy to get her to fix her car in Ranger Catastrophe, she's creeping on that boy.
Yep.
I mean, she's just a little creepy in general with her little weird cold stares.
That I'm not sure whether that's creepy or just her acting.
Both. I don't know. I want to say I'm going to chuck it to just like, I don't know, purposeful acting choices to maybe make us feel a little bit uneasy about her by accident. Yeah. But I don't know, like, because it's hard to reconcile, because again, I'm watching these episodes for the first time. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to sort of reconcile her with the cat that I meet later because they are a little bit different. So I don't know. It's like, this is like, it's one of those things where like she comes off very badly because it's a bad situation. And then eventually you come to like her.
Yeah. Well, while we're
like, maybe a strong word.
Observe her. Tolerate. All right, fine.
Yeah. So while we're on that topic, this is related to the prior one as well. And it is kind of along the same line of discussion. Finster explains to Rita that Kat's wanting to help out Kim once she fell and got a concussion was a selfless act that broke Rita's spell. Does anybody else feel like Rita's spell was just really weak sauce?
Yeah, I'm calling, you know, that thing I'm not allowed to say because this is a kid's show. I'm calling baloney. Mm-hmm. Because Mike, I think you and I were recording it. Was it you and me, or maybe it was you and me, Brian? But there was
we did Love Potion, and that was the one with the
Yeah, so in that episode, whatever episode where we saw a cat transform from a cat back into a person and do things, there's this moment where she's like on a loop of like well, there's like a loop of her good girl, bad girl kind of a situation, and it's really bad, but like Rita's narration and she remembers, but like that didn't break the spell. Was it you and me, Ben?
Yeah.
It's been so long, I can't keep track. But there's like that loop,
right?
Because I said
how creepy it was that she was just sat there going, good girl, good girl, good girl.
Yeah,
good
yes. Girl, okay, so girl. It was us. Right? So it's weird and definitely weak sauce that she all of a sudden decided to help Kim because she fell. And it's like, it's not like she saved her. Like if Kim was falling and Kat saved her from hitting her head, that would make more sense because her desire to save Kim sort of overpowered the spell. I could see that. Well, but here, yeah. Sort of, Kim falls herself.
Well, see, something to kind of also keep in mind, like, because obviously when Kat reveals to Kim the truth, and then Tommy miraculously just shows up and tells his story about what happened to him when he was under control by Rita, like, when you look at the spells that she's put on people, like, she needed the sort of darkness to really keep Tommy under control. She doesn't have a mechanism that keeps Kat like under control truthfully. And as this is also going on, like in the first episode and then this episode, you're also seeing Kat getting flashbacks. Like she's starting to see things from her actual past that leads up to the moment of when Kim actually does have her accident. And then she's having it again, which then leads her to tell the story to Kim. So it's like, in a way, it's like, Tommy, there is a mechanism with the Sword of Darkness that yeah. It had to be destroyed in order to get Tommy out of that spell. There was nothing like that with Kat.
Fair enough.
Okay, I guess I get that. It's still but okay. I guess Rita's not as great of a witch as she thinks she is.
Also, good enough. A lot of Rita's spells, especially in the later part of this last season and this season, haven't exactly gone to plan. Right? Like,
yeah.
There's the Stop the Hate Master that we've already reviewed, where the Power Rangers just decide not to be under hate anymore randomly at one point.
Swiper, no swiping. Yeah. Okay.
Oh man.
I don't know.
So, yeah, I don't. Okay. Okay. I got a question. I'll throw this one to Mike. So, at the beginning of the episode, Billy, Tommy, Gunther, and Kat are at the hospital waiting for Kim to wake up, but the Stone Canyon 3 aren't. Why?
I don't know. Budget reasons?
I think it's just...
I mean, that's the only thing I can legitimately think of. I was like, well, we can't have them on budget today. Maybe they weren't.
It is weird. But it's weird that, like, again, it's weird that, like, Aisha wouldn't be there because Kim lives with her. They're best friends. Yada, yada, yada.
I mean, the answer is quite obvious, right?
It's because they're the originals and whatnot. And...
No. Rocky has clearly forgotten how doors work and can't get out of the house.
But Rocky just wants to have fun.
Yeah. That joke was old last season. Don't try to revive it.
It's like these doors are not fun at all.
It's like when you play The Sims and you put someone in a room and remove the door. Rocky's just forgotten how to work doors and can't get out of his house.
Okay, fine.
So Rocky's having the ultimate Sims simulation.
At least I have this pachinko machine.
Okay, what about Adam and Aisha then?
Aisha's off working at, she's on shift at the vet's. And Adam's just off somewhere else being awesome.
Adam, they just forgot to write into the scene.
Well, no, because if Adam was there, he'd just click his fingers and solve all the problems.
Yeah.
If you say so.
Well, except for, hold on. Except for this season where they pretty much didn't give him any.
Yeah, they kind of forgot he existed this season.
Here, take this lantern and just go, you know, whatever.
Not get me started on that freaking lantern, okay?
He'll still be the best.
Here, go have a lantern and have fun.
He's still going to be the best thing in this next season and in future seasons.
And so. In Turbo, definitely.
Yes. Okay, so my next one is kind of about the physics of Power Rangers, if you will.
So that's a bad question, right?
Yes, I believe so. Lieutenant Stone is in a laundry cart with Bulk and Skull to spy on Gunther, and they're wheeled by a nurse over to the laundry drop chute, which, if you had been listening, they're on the sixth floor. It's a sixth floor drop. First off, do Lieutenant Stone really need to spy like this? If there was any reasonable suspicion, couldn't he just bring Gunther in for questioning? Also, a drop that high, pretty certain that would kill somebody, right?
Well, right, so first of all, in episode one, Skull literally says to Bulk, could we not just execute a citizen's arrest to bring this man in for interrogation? And he does the whole, they have ways of making him talk, which is weird and kind of on point. As for the Lieutenant Stone thing,
he sucks.
Lieutenant Stone should just wear a big sign around his neck that says, this isn't how policing works.
not like that, but also to answer the one question of, wouldn't the sixth floor drop?
I haven't gone to that bit yet.
No.
But go ahead, Mike.
I was going to say, probably wasn't going to kill him because they're going to fall into laundry anyways.
They're in a metal basket. You're telling me their head isn't going to bang off of that thing?
Well, they don't normally throw the basket down the chute.
No.
They just empty the basket into the chute.
Right.
Second of all, you seem to forget that Bulk and Skull have slapstick armor.
Right.
And third, Lieutenant Stone must survive because who's going to take over from Ernie other than a police lieutenant?
You know what? That is an excellent point, Ben. Thank you.
He's got to logic it out, man. Yep. Much like Rocky not being able to get out of his house. We're just going to stay with me for the rest of my day. Too stupid to open the door.
Oh, man. Okay. Next question, and I'll throw this out to anybody who wants to answer it. More seriously, Kim reveals that she wants to quit gymnastics since being a Power Ranger is more important. Is she thinking straight? And what decision would you make if you were in her position?
Well, being as somebody who's actually suffered 8 documented concussions, no, she's not thinking straight because you're loopy at the time of a concussion. So, no, I don't think she is thinking straight.
Not to mention, how do I put this kindly?
Don't. Just say it.
Kim isn't exactly a brain surgeon to begin with. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
If I was put in the choice of being an Olympic athlete or being a Power Ranger, I'd be an Olympic athlete because there's much less risk of death.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Valid.
That's the smart decision, I think, to make.
Especially since I didn't choose being a Power Ranger in the first place.
I think the idea of choice here is interesting because we didn't really see much of a choice when it came to Jason, Trini, and Zach leaving. Because we're like, oh, look, they got picked. They're leaving now.
They weren't even aware they'd applied.
Exactly. So here at the very least we see a choice, but like this is not the time to present this choice. Like, give her a few days to recover because she can't even like get out of bed and walk around. let alone go fight Tangas and a monster. So like, it's not the time to make that kind of decision.
Like straight up, she's in bed and they get a call, you know, while Tommy's at the hospital hanging out with her, and she's like trying to get up, and Zordon's like, no, 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 you lay down. What are you doing? So
does anybody else think the monster in this episode kind of looks like Mucus from Dino Fury?
I haven't caught up on Dino Fury, so
no, I have no opinion. A little bit.
Well, you don't need to. She's in the first episode. She's the little mushroom creature.
Oh!
I might actually. She's the punching bag for
The
punching bag for what's his name? Void Knight.
Yeah, I think they look. They've even got the same little like round things under the mushroom cap.
Yeah. Let's see here. Oh, yeah. So last question for episode 2, and then we'll move on to episode 3. How dark is this cliffhanger? Because basically what's being presented here is that if the Rangers don't hand over Kat, Rita is going to more or less kill Ninjor. And that's where the episode ends. Thoughts on that?
Cooler than anything we've seen for a while. I gotta give Rita credit for like actually, you know, getting her hands on Ninjor to be able to make that threat. Mm-hmm. But as an adult, you're just kind of like, well, it's Power Rangers. Nobody actually dies.
No, they just get really big boo-boos.
The thing that bothered me about that entire ultimatum is like in the very first scene of this episode, Rita's like, when Finster's all like, oh, she broke the spell. Rita's literally like, oh, well, nothing lasts forever anyway. And you're like, now she suddenly wants Kat back, like an old girlfriend. Like,
but also, what is the point of getting Kat back?
It's my point.
Yeah.
Other than Rita and Zed seem to be weirdly fixated on people that they've had mind controlled and then have gotten away. Because, like, they did it with Tommy, and now they're doing it again with Kat.
Oh, God, look. And we said those two don't have anything in
common. Is that the entire basis of Tommy and Kat's relationship?
We were both brainwashed by Rita. Me too. Let's make out.
Like, oh, God. Okay.
You gotta love Power Rangers logic, but that's a fair point, Ben.
You ever been with a man that's been under an evil spell before?
No.
Have you?
There was this one time at band camp.
Well, there was that one time in Stone Canyon, but anyway,
there was that one time in that alley and I had to throw that trash can lid.
No, it's in the abandoned warehouse district. Come on, you know this.
But the alley still happened to be in the abandoned warehouse district, which is why there's a trash can lid. I think we killed that
one time with the dragon dagger.
Guys, this is a kid show.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of, sort of.
All right. Episode 3.
Episode 3, everybody. Okay. So let's just go right back into where we left off. So we start off with the Rangers deliberating between handing over Kat or Ninjor being killed.
Tough choice.
Yeah. Sorry. When asked what they should do, Zordon says,
okay, no los dos.
do we give up Kat or we take Dudley do right back?
Zordon straight up just says, this is not for me to decide. Thoughts on this? I personally think that, at the very least, your input is necessary here, Zordon, but that's just me. Like, I mean, all of a
Zordon
sudden,
definitely should have had input. Like, definitely should have been part of the conversation.
No habla English. Sorry.
Look, guys, we've talked about how Zordon is a terrible mentor. This is a great example because these are teenagers. They are put in life or death situations, and you're asking them to pick between a pseudo mentor and this girl they met 2 seconds ago. And there's really bad ramifications because they don't know what Rita's going to do to them, to Kat, right? Ninjor is an important ally, and so like, how do you decide what to do? And like, as an adult, like, we've seen plenty of movies where adults struggle with this decision of like, do you sacrifice this one person because maybe you'll get the other person back, or maybe you won't. But to expect teenagers who, yeah, have some life experience in this, but still are teenagers, to make this literal life or death decision is just testament to how much of a terrible mentor Zordon is.
Yeah, asking them to solve the trolley car problem is a bit much. Yeah. Also, I'm seeing where Gosei gets it.
It does explain a lot, doesn't it?
Oh, there's a perfectly good explanation for that.
Yeah.
Don't take my tagline.
Yeah.
Good
long
Lord.
Story short, right? Long story short, Zordon should be all up in this decision with both legs, if he had any, right? But this should be a conversation that involves the entire team. All of them, Alpha and Zordon, not just... Mm-hmm. This is Zordon's equivalent of like, hey, you're going to make a decision, I won't feel guilty. Alpha, bring me a coffee.
Yeah.
Bring me a large sniffer of brandy and a cigarette.
For all of his quips about great power and great responsibility BS, he sure can't preach it. He can preach it, but he can't do it himself.
Yeah.
It was such, watching that, I was just like, Zordon,
what the bleepity bleep bleep bleep?
Like, it made no sense to me why he wouldn't, like he's just like, no. Mm-hmm. This is something y'all got to figure out on your own. And I'm like, no, absolutely not.
This is something that we're going to figure out together. Alpha, yeah. Get in the huddle too. We need your input as well, Alpha.
Somebody needs to change out your
at
water.
At that point, they should have hung a sign around his tube going, Demetria lives here.
Like, God, I don't know. It's funny to me rewatching these episodes because, again, like, when starting this show, you know, I had the rose-colored glasses on. I was like, oh, yeah, Zordon's great. And, like, I'm near the end of season three, and I'm like, oh, that's right. Yeah. Oof. Oofa. So, yeah, that literally just takes away so many cool points for me from Zordon. And it just, it paints him in such a just negative light that he would like literally just be like, yo, hey, new phone, who dis? Sorry. I don't know what to tell you. You know, not my circus, not my monkeys. It's like, they're your Power Rangers. What are you talking about?
That you randomly selected, by the way.
And ninja is your friend.
Teenagers with attitude.
Yeah. So yeah, life and death decisions needed to be made in this.
And ultimately, and sorry, Brian, I'm going to hop into the next one. Ultimately, at the end of the day, Kat is the one who decides for the Rangers and decides to hand herself over to Rita and Zed. You can pick it up from there, Brian.
Yes, thank you. So the Rangers won't let her, but instead decide to trick Rita by bringing down a force field that protects Kat from being kidnapped. But the bottle that Ninjor presumably is in is empty instead. Rita says, hey, that's not fair. That's cheating. Thoughts on this plan? And also, Rita, of all people, calling people out on cheating?
I mean, that's the joke, right?
I mean, hey, Ben.
Yeah.
I mean, you would agree with this sentiment right here. In the words of the great, late Eddie Guerrero, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. You know? I mean, Eddie's whole thing was cheat to win.
You gotta give Rita credit, though, for thinking that the Power Rangers were gonna take the moral high ground and totally hold up their end of the bargain. Because in past, they would have totally done that.
Yeah.
Even though several times that they've tried to make deals, the Power Rangers have tried to sort of welch out of them at some point.
Yeah, pretty much. I
can very distinctly remember the whole like Goldar being like, hand over your power coins, and it being like the Jewish chocolate coins or whatever. And Goldar says, what? It's like, yeah, we tricked you. So it's not unreasonable to think that the Rangers would be like, hey, how are we gonna
but the whole Rita being, oh my god, you cheated, is the joke. That is the whole point of the moment.
It's just You would think that she would know better by now, but I guess apparently her ground soldiers aren't reporting back to her very well, are they?
You could say that about literally every tactic she's ever used.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but I think whenever Goldar comes back from a mission, you know, I wouldn't say that like being an evil space alien means that you have to fill out a lot of paperwork, because good God, why would that be the case? But I do feel like, you know, hey, let's go decommission you and see what happens.
You should at least debrief him. Yeah.
I can see it now. It's like Goldar comes back to the palace, and then he has to go to Finster, and then has to fill out like stacks of paperwork.
All right, Goldar, sign here, here, and here.
Why do I gotta do this?
This is why Squad isn't around anymore, because he got tired of this crap.
He's gone to look for his stapler.
he got tired of filling out like W-2s and all these different like long forms about like
Babu's filling out TPS reports.
I had to stay late to get everything done. Okay, let's see here. Oh yeah, and piggybacking onto this question, by the way. So why would the Rangers bring a force field device down to the field that could be so easily destroyed and not have someone keeping an eye on it during the fight?
To quote Thor in the MCU, because that's what heroes do.
Okay.
It's a very simple explanation.
Well, you see, the plot called for it. So
to actually sort of answer this question, if you go back and look in all of the devices the Power Rangers have ever used that aren't the Zords, they're all incredibly janky. And most of them are like, well, it might work, it might not. And it's just, the Power Rangers have a history of having a plan and then abandoning it when they get in a fight. They just do.
Yeah. It is what it is on that.
It's very par for the course. Okay. I don't think that, by the way, I don't think that I have seen these episodes yet, because I don't think we've recorded them yet. But I might have missed something, but how was Kim able to morph if Rita was in possession of the pink power coin?
That is an excellent question.
There's a very simple Sasha? Explanation. There's a very simple explanation.
No, that makes no sense.
I'm sorry. This is not how the healthcare system works in this episode. And this is not how science works in this episode. This is not how the police force works in this episode, but this is the hill that breaks you.
There have been so many hills that I have been so ready to just die on. Just like, why? But then I find the energy to keep going. But eventually you got to
stop. One more dude.
You gotta stop. You gotta stand on that hill. You gotta overlook everything that you've walked over. You just have to be like, what is going on here?
The answer is quite simple. I'm fairly sure they'd forgotten that she didn't have a power coin until they remembered it.
Yeah, probably.
Well, also one thing though is that if I remember right, without the power coin, she was still able to do the Ninjetti morph, but she just couldn't do the actual Ranger.
But she did do the Ranger morph in episode one.
Oh.
Yeah.
She actually became the Pink Ranger.
Whoops.
She had the shark cycle.
And not only did she use the power coin, she used her season one morpher with the pterodactyl coin in it.
Whoopsies.
Ninja, you got some splaining to do, I guess.
I'm just saying.
Like, okay. So that's just going to go unsolved, unfortunately, everybody.
Literally one of those things that if it would have happened in like an adult show, like Lost or like a Star Trek or something like that, people Heroes. Would be trying to figure it out for millennia.
It'd be the big mystery. It's like, why did that happen? It'd be the one question that'd be asked at like conventions until the end of time.
You know what, Ben? You know what I think it is? Zordon had a spare on hand that could be a one-time use only coin.
But remember, too much pink energy is dangerous.
Yes, that's true.
The next question I have for the group. So, okay, having not watched the other episodes featuring the introduction of Kat just yet, I might be a little in the dark here, but watching just these episodes, keep that in mind, just watching these three episodes and seeing how easily Kat was captured up to this point in the show, how is this supposed to potentially set up Kat as being the next Pink Ranger? Wouldn't it have been better if she actually tried to fight back against Rito? I will say she does demonstrate some other qualities that would qualify her for being a ranger, but I don't know. What do you think? I'm curious what you would think about that.
What other qualities do you think she shows that would qualify her as a ranger?
She's able to outsmart really dumb space aliens.
Well, right.
Skull can do that.
I mean, she has compassion, right? Don't get me wrong. She clearly helps Kim. Mm-hmm. When you say outsmart dumb space aliens, what part are you specifically referring to?
I'm speaking about the part where she uses her charms and her, you know, whatever to be like, wait, can't you open up the door? And then she steals the power.
You mean the part where she gives a massage to the dude that not only 3 minutes before that had said, I'm a skeleton, I don't have muscles.
Yes.
Okay, fine. Okay.
But I know what the ultimate thing is. Here's the ultimate reason why she gets to be the ranger.
Sure.
She has the ultimate blackmail thing. She knows all their identities. You don't make me a ranger, I reveal your secret identities.
I'm going to go to Lieutenant Stone over here once he's done recovering from that 6-foot drop, and I'm going to tell him exactly who you are. All right, fine.
Come on. That's not. Kat is way too actually shy to do anything like that. Let's be real here.
Until she sort of starts putting it out for Tommy. But anyway. In all seriousness, this episode is. And I'd go so far as to say, outside of the episode where she herself gets turned into a cat monster and fights the Rangers
in her furry suit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Outside of that episode, outside of the compassion she shows for Kimberly, there's not a whole lot that would compare to when they selected Rocky, Adam, and Aisha.
Sure. Right?
However, if you think back to when the Rangers were originally selected, the five teenagers with attitudes,
mm-hmm.
Kim was just a gymnast. She was a valley girl, self-centered gymnast. Billy was just a brain. He didn't know any kung fu. He didn't know anything like that.
He was learning.
That's my point. You don't need an overabundance of good qualities to become a Power Ranger. You need one very strong quality. And for Kat, it's her compassion. We even see in literally the next episode, when she first morphs, she's got no idea how to use the Ninjetti powers. And then, as is established all the way back in Day of the Dumpster, the first time she morphs, there's that weird knowledge transference that she just knows how to do things. All right. She's not. So it's just. I don't think that I think you might be trying to compare apples to oranges. Yes, they're both fruit, but they're very different methods of growing them.
That's
Did I get a bit too serious on that question?
Maybe a little. It's a really great answer, though. It's a really great answer.
I've gone from Rocky not being able to get out of his house to that. So
got to go full circle, Ben. You just got to go full circle.
Yeah.
Wow. That I felt like I was at a TED talk for a second there. I was like, wow, that's wow. Okay. Because that was really well spoken, Ben. Thank you.
You just again, like I said, it's you don't need a lot of things to make you a Power Ranger. You need one very good thing. And for Kat, it's the compassion. And that's even reinforced in this episode where her compassion is what breaks the spell.
Yeah. And then everything else just falls in line afterwards.
Yeah.
Right on. All right. I don't know how to segue from that. So
hey,
I
Brian,
will just
why don't you
say,
talk about Bulk and Skull?
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. yeah. So. okay, so Bulk and Skull just kind of gave up on that international spy quest, didn't they?
Not really. I mean, when they're back at, you know, the youth center, they see Gunther there and they kind of go up to him and they technically approach him. And then when they find out who he is and that he's the coach, they kind of go, okay. And then they kind of just like respectfully back off of it. So they didn't actually just give up on it. Like they technically got to him. But then when they realized who he was, you know, they backed off. You know,
so. I mean, how do you know that wasn't a ploy, though? Like he was just really in character. He could be a gymnast and a spy. You don't know.
That would be a really exhausting cover. Just saying.
Sure.
But then again, sure, he could be a spy. Because German spies were all the rage in the 90s.
Yep. I remember that one movie. You know.
That movie.
That one. Yeah.
Anyways, Brian, you have one more question.
I feel like I'm missing a joke.
Same.
Yeah. I was just literally trying to pull whatever. Okay, so final question, and I'm going to go ahead and merge two questions here. So how was this send-off for Kim / Amy Jo Johnson? And going back up to episode one where I had this originally, let's see here. How does this departure feel compared to Jason, Zach's and Trini's?
The focus is actually, so for one, the focus is actually more or less, well, it's more on Kimberly than it was on the other three. Even though the focus of this three-parter arguably is actually Kat and not Kimberly, but it's kind of both. I will say that, like, I don't give a flying boot about Kimberly. I've made my feelings about that known relatively for a while. Mm-hmm. I think Kat is, whereas like the other Rangers, like when Adam and Aisha, and well, maybe not Rocky, but when Adam and Aisha were brought in, I felt like they were being brought in for a specific reason because we needed new Rangers. Kat feels like a Kimberly replacement instead of just a new Ranger that we need. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Whereas like she's I think gonna have a harder time fitting in, and that's okay. But I don't know. Ultimately, I've never not wowed by Kimberly centered episodes. Especially because I think, you know, we joked about Dear John letters, and like, you know, I'm sure the pan global games are just like the peace conference last a really long time.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And well, in all fairness, she's not leaving to go to the Pan Global Games.
That's
she
true. She's leaving to train.
The opportunity to go to Florida to train for the Pan Global Games.
In which case, I will restate that to me is a much more valid reason than the reason that we got of the peace conference. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, but please.
Do we ever find out, because I'm not entirely certain, and that's the only reason I'm asking this, but do we ever find out, because obviously she goes down to Florida to train for the Pan Olympic Games or Pan...
Whatever.
do we ever find out, because obviously she meets a guy down there eventually, I'm not trying to talk about future episodes, but like, does she ever wind up in France at all with her mom, or is that all just kind of...
We don't know because we never see her again until the Turbo movie.
Yeah.
And I will stay here because I know that Mike's probably about to bring up a comic book. Comic books are not canon.
But
anyways, I was actually going to piggyback off of the original thing that Sasha was
saying. Okay, go ahead.
But like kind of like what Sasha was saying, where like Rocky, Adam, and Aisha were brought in essentially to become replacement Rangers. Another critical thing here is that I actually think this send-off for Kim was a lot better because we actually got to see Kim and we got to see Kim. Say that. Yeah, because
hey, like, look, it's not that it's a low bar here.
But the thing is, yeah, is that like Kim actually gets to like hand off the coin and not have herself be like really badly dubbed over to make it sound like Jason, Trini, and Zach are there. So it's like the send-off is much better. And the fact that they gave a legitimate reason and they actually did a better build for her departure makes a lot more sense compared to, say, you know, the other three.
But again, it's the fact that Amy Jo Johnson asked to leave while the others were fired. So you had, I think, had the actors negotiated to leave, maybe they would have gotten a better send-off instead of just like being ridiculously written out. But, you know, we live in a world, what if? So like compared to the other Rangers leaving, this is a step up. But again, low bar.
But then again, we'll get to have this conversation again next season.
And the season after that.
So, how was this as a departure for Kimberly? It was incredibly fitting for the character of Kimberly. Right? Jason Scott Lee, Zach, I can't remember his surname.
Taylor?
Yeah, I'll just say Jason, Zach, and Trini. Their out was something that you didn't really associate with the three of them. You didn't associate them with being politicians. Trini, maybe, because she's always on about anything that the plot needed her to be. But gymnastics is such a has been established as such a huge part of Kimberly's life, that being the thing that pulls her away from being a Power Ranger is incredibly fitting. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, it would have made sense if Jason was going off to train martial arts somewhere, or now taking away the whole, they have site-to-site teleportation all over the planet, but like if Jason was going off to teach martial arts somewhere, or Zach was going off to become a dance tutor, or Trini was going off to help study in at like the Power Rangers equivalent of CERN, right? If they'd made the out for those three more fitting to their characters, I think. This is a better overall send-off. Not only is it better written, it's better filmed, which admittedly they did the best they could with the other three, given the fact that they weren't on set. And this is just a more fitting send-off for the character. As for who's replacing her, Jason, Zach, and Trini were replaced by three very different characters. Right, whereas Kimberly is literally just being replaced with a different Barbie doll.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, but not only that, but to add on to that as well, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, that they actually did the foresight to actually think about how they're going to get from point A to point B to this, like Ben said at the beginning, this is the end of a 10 episode arc to actually
9-10
episodes to lead to Kim leaving before going into the next big arc, which will involve the Zeo crystals.
It's technically 9 episodes Kim leaving, 10 episodes if you include Kat's first episode as a Ranger.
But still, like, there was that foresight, so it was also much more planned out in advance to make this change happen.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it just,
but I mean,
it's just the only thing that the power transfer has over this is that Adam, Rocky, and Aisha are different people to Jason, Zach, and Trini. Whereas, like I said, it's Malibu Barbie replacing New York Barbie. I mean, am I wrong?
No, no.
No, you're not.
It's basically the same character, just with a different look.
And a different hobby, I guess.
No, I mean, at the end of the day, it's still the same character. They're both obsessed with the thing that should have taken them to the Pan Global Games. They both fancy Tommy. They both like fashion. They both live with Aisha. Do I need to keep going?
They're basically the same person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With minor personality differences.
Yeah. I'm going to step in and live your life.
Though I will say this. Small continuity error at the end when she's handing over the power coin. Kim pulls her power coin out of her communicator.
Yeah. I didn't know they stored those there.
I didn't catch that. Sorry.
He's like, pulls it out of her watch.
Huh.
Maybe she's just doing a magic trick.
It's like one step away from like pulling it out of her ear, like you do with a 5-year-old in the coin.
All right.
Just pulling magic tricks here and there.
Is this your power coin? Wow. How'd you do that? I'll show you later.
We're literally magic.
Yeah. So yeah, that's all the questions I have. If you wanted to continue discussing the episode, feel free to, but that's pretty much everything I had so far.
I think so. We kind of covered this episode, man. Like
this episode is down for the count at this point.
One, two, three. Oh, no, yeah, three.
TKO, man. Three. First round.
Now, if only three. Kim, now, if only Kim had left and taken Tommy with her.
Yeah.
That would have been so much cooler. And like, imagine like if Billy had to like lead the team
hang on, I'm just enjoying that image.
Like, you know, I'm sure there's some other thing he can train for the Pan Global Games. Anyway, so we've lost Ben in to Fantasy La La Land.
A world without Tommy.
I know. I would love to see like Adam and Billy step up as like leaders of the team because they are the most capable for different reasons. And like
Rocky gets locked in his own house.
Yeah, well, at least we know he can sort of chemistry now.
Man. Like, I just
so bad.
And so, yeah. Anyway.
Like all the Mighty Morphin Red Ranger figures that I have, and like there's a reason why I never look at that and go, oh yeah, Rocky. Like, yeah, no.
But anyways,
yeah.
Now for something completely different.
A man with three legs.
All right.
That was great. That was well done.
At least one person picked up on the Monty Python bit.
Thank you, Ben.
I'm sorry if it's not Mel Brooks. I don't care.
No, I got it. I just didn't have anything like raring to go.
We end this goddamn episode, please.
Yes. All right. So let's go ahead and wrap
it's
it up.
Friday night. I have stuff to do.
Yeah, somebody still has two papers to write this semester.
All right. Well, we're done. So, Ben, where can we find you on the World Wide Web?
Ready, Mike?
I guess.
You can find me
SNL
on Twitter at
Bob T. Goldsfish.
You can find me doing the video game thing over on
twitch.tv/321_TV.
And you can find our sister show, Awesome Mania, which is myself, Mike, and a guest every month sitting down and watching through a pay-per-view of some form of wrestling that will be a minute for a while, given stuff that happened this week. Not going to talk about it. You can find that at
txhchockey.com/awesomemania.
And this show you can find on Twitter at
@VFTG_PR.
And just remember, I've been your boy, Ben Taylor, the man with podcasting running through his veins, alongside a high level of high saturated fats.
All right. Sasha, where can we find you on the world?
Kirby, where can you find me? Okay, you can find me on geekgirl101.tumblr.com, blogging my fun adventures with this really cool paper that I'm writing. You can also find me crying about random things in my life over on Twitter at Geeky Kaplan. That is Kaplan with a K after the greatest superhero in the Marvel Universe, Billy Kaplan. Fight me. Okay. And that's it so far.
You just like, I'm bad, like, all right, I'll fight you.
All right, and
you can find me on Twitter at @thelindenbaum75, Facebook at facebook.com/x95productions, Twitch, doing the Twitch thing at twitch.tv/themichaelx75, and of course everything's on the website at txhthockey.com, and for this show specific, /vftg. Brian,
word,
where can the people find you?
Yes, you can find me on Twitter at @OneDrunkGeek. You can also find me on Instagram at @Draken22. You can also find plenty of my past work at castwavestudios.com. We're still filming One Drunk Geek episodes. Please check that out. And also, I've rebranded my name on TikTok. So now you can find me under Blue Ranger B-Rai. And I've been doing so many Power Ranger TikToks and meeting up with different people in the Power Ranger community on TikTok, and it's really fun. So yeah, check me out there. And then I think honestly that's about, wait, no, we have one last thing we have to do, isn't that right?
Yeah, you have to remember that you can find Rocky in his house.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You can find Rocky at my house. All right, and with all of that, thank you all for putting up with wearing pink. And
never
Ben, if you
again.
Wanna, Ben, if you wanted to, if you would so kindly take us out, please.
Well, as the only person here that's comfortable being the Pink Ranger, I would like to say that too much pink energy is dangerous. So we will be doing our best to return to our normal colors as of next episode. But until then, we will leave you the way that we always leave you, by saying, guys, gals, and non-binary pals. In the words of the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, be excellent to each other. A party on non-gender-specific honorifics.
And until our next Morphonomical episode, be sure to grab your power coins and your power morphers.
And may the power protect you.
Oh, if only she'd taken Tommy with her.
Peace.